WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
It's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G Marvin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
I come with glad tidings.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, warm light for all mankind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Why the hell should I take orders from you?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Living legend who kind of lives up to the legend.
The Omega.
A man with breathtaking anger management issues.
Heartbreak Mike.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Do I look to be in a gaming mood?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're dealing with forces you can't control.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
The humans think us immortal.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park? Is everything a joke to you?
Day 25. We have very little water left. We're out of food. And we lost Billy during the Elias performance. But we've made it. We've made it to the end of WrestleMania 35. And we still have a show to do.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. And yes, Matt, I am going to yell the fuck at you later. Let's go.
So welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the WrestleMania 35 post-show review. Should hopefully not take 7.5 hours.
I don't have 7.5 hours of energy left.
None of us do.
We got 7.5 minutes to get this through.
Oh God, it feels like it. So let's not wait any longer. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight... Who do we have? Do we have a heartbreak, Mike?
Just keep going.
No? Okay.
I don't know yet. We'll find out at some point, maybe. I don't know.
We got a producer. We got a Sir Rockin'.
Yeah, I've watched 7.5 hours of wrestling today. I'm exhausted. And I have... This is not the first time I have to review this show. Let's get this thing going.
And the one who has to run this whole thing, the one who's way past his bedtime, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good early Tuesday morning right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, coming in just after WrestleMania.
All right, someone unplug Cole's mic. Someone unplug the mic.
He lost his voice.
Okay, there we go. We're better.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Went a little Cole on us.
Going a little Michael Cole there. Holy cow, did he lose it right in the middle of the final match?
Okay, we need to talk about this.
Didn't really sneak up on him. What?
We need to talk about that. How
yeah,
would
it
he...
didn't really sneak up on him so much as it just like, boom.
Yeah, and he didn't do the whole show. Like
Corey Graves, hey, you know what? Kudos to Corey Graves for taking over because he did a damn good job covering.
He did, but someone should have called Tom Phillips and told him to run the fucking ringside and get down there and call this match.
Or somebody I don't know. Maybe have some other people take some matches once in a while.
Here's the thought. Maybe make sure that Cole has enough water at the table, and make sure that you also have a little separate one that's got some salt in there where you can shut your mic off and gargle. Just a, you know, just a little hot tip to Michael Cole and anybody else who wants to do play-by-play calling. Been there, done that.
Bought the t-shirt.
Sold the t-shirt.
There you go. All right.
Oh, my God! Nearly broke him in half with that move.
My God.
All right, and we're back. You know. What?
Nothing.
Okay.
And why do I hear myself?
Because your ears are open and you're talking. yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I know. I heard.
Just want to say really quick, thanks to everybody who is staying up as late as they are, especially on the East Coast, Omega.
Help me!
Rock. Apparently Mike fell asleep halfway through.
No, no.
WrestleMania.
No, because that's what I keep hearing. It's on him. Or no, it's, now it's coming from you. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Heartbreak Mike.
Nope.
Try again.
I do this every Saturday. The one and only Heartbreak Mike.
Mike, take your mic off. Be muted.
The black man has won the title.
There you go.
I swear I gotta do this. Co-hosts need to unmute their mics. All right, let's go.
Wake up.
Matches
you spelled Q wrong, Kane Kittens.
He always does. Anyway, Omega, tell me about the pre-show, because you saw it from a different perspective than anyone else in the entire world.
I was one of three people who was actually watching it through the magic that is VR.
Ew.
Virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
How? Tell me.
Well, I have a VR headset, so it's streaming to the VR headset. Yeah, that's how.
Wow, that's impressive. I saw those things for sale at Walmart for $29.95. Are they any good?
No, they're not. They're shit that you have to plug a cell phone into.
Oh, well, that won't work for me.
Well, it doesn't accommodate a flip phone.
Well, you know, it's the rotary dial that gets in the way, wise ass.
No, but like, super cool to actually watch it, because you see the cameras that are mounted. There's one on the barricade on the camera hard side, and then there's two mounted on the far turnbuckles.
So that's what that was.
Yeah. So like, when you're watching it in VR, it's like you're perched on there. You know, like you're about to stand up on the top rope.
That's kind of cool.
It's really cool. Like, there's some really good, there's some really super cool shots that way. You do see a lot of like in your face ass. If people go to the top. But here's the cool thing. You see like behind the scenes stuff, because they don't cut away. They don't cut to replays or anything like that. It's very low on the Kevin Dunn level. So like when they're at the panel and you're watching from like the front of the desk, you can look to your right and there's teleprompters, there's lights. There's Jerry Lawler, who like when he came out during the kickoff show, he'd been standing there looking at his Twitter feed on his phone for an hour.
He stood
there for an hour waiting his turn. But like, you see things you don't normally see. Like, when Tony Nese won, spoiler alert for the results. When Tony Nese won, the referees turned into a director, stopping him from going to the top to celebrate the win because they were airing the replay. So as soon as he got the cue that, okay, now you can stand up on the turnbuckle, and then the ref rolls out of the ring and like waves to get his attention and puts his fingers on the edge of his mouth and raises them up to like to show him that he needs to smile.
So you get to see a little bit more of the production than you should.
Yeah.
So in other words, all you needed was a headset and you'd be literally behind the scenes.
In some cases you were kind of behind the scenes, but yeah. Yeah, like it's a little revealing, but it's a really cool perspective.
That just brings to mind all the wrestling shows that I've run or worked at where I was running the camera and I'm in the corner on the edge of the ring. I'm talking to member of the tag team, and I'm like, okay, I'm about to cut to you. Get ready to smile. giving him stage directions just before I throw the camera on his face.
There you go. So that's the virtual reality experience in Omega Watch. He watched Tony Nese win the Cruiserweight Championship. He watched Carmella win the Women's Battle Royal.
That no one expected.
He watched Hawkins and Ryder win the tag team titles.
Something else no one expected.
If you listen to
one person did.
If you listen to a Raw post show every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, I called this 8 weeks ago. Yeah.
I qualified what I said and said almost.
And he watched Braun Strowman win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
You throw out literally everybody, including two SNL guys.
So I listed four matches. Anything stick out?
Not especially, aside from the fact that if you give Ryder a title shot at Mania, he will win.
Woo, woo, woo.
Also,
you know it.
Also, how far down can you really bury the revival?
Okay, so I'm going to now tell Tim this is where you go from Hall of Fame. Go.
this is where you go from Hall of Fame. Oh, the Hall of Fame. Yeah, well, watching the Hall of Fame ceremonies last night, kind of an interesting setup, and I bet you this is going to be the last goddamn time they do it for a couple of different reasons. One of the main ones being Bret Hart being assaulted in the middle of his acceptance speech. Basically, this is about to be a rant from somebody who's been involved in the business, who is still involved in the business, somebody who runs, rushes the stage or the wrestling ring, somebody who gets themselves involved in the wrestlers in any way, shape, or form. You're not a fan. You're not a wrestling fan. You're an asshole. Don't be a dumbass, okay? Sure. Last night, Bret Hart was attacked by an amateur MMA fighter whose record is 2-1. I'm not going to mention his name. He doesn't deserve that. People think wrestling's fake. Wrestling's not fake. Wrestling is scripted. Okay? These guys train their asses off. They beat the living shit out of each other on a nightly basis. You think you can go one-on-one with him? 62-year-old Bret Hart put a licking on this guy before he got pulled away and left it to the younger bucks like his nephew Harry Smith, for example. Here he is. The guy's a brain injury survivor. He's still suffering from the stroke and the concussion all these years later. He's got very limited use of one of his arms. He still was able to get in some really good looks on this kid. If you rush the ring, if you interfere with wrestlers in any shape or form, in any format, you deserve the shit kicking you're gonna get, and you're gonna get one. Yep. It happened at one of my shows back in 2013. Guy rushed the wrestling ring and got cold cocked, smacked, knocked the fuck out by one of my wrestlers. Didn't even think twice, just turned around, cold cocked him, went on with the match. Escorted the guy out, and he tried to come after me for a few different things. Absolutely dumb. Bring it on. You're the one who's in trouble, not us. You wanna press it? Fine. You're getting charged with criminal felony assault. That's exactly what you commit when you do some dumbass shit like that. Don't ever do it.
So I know the shtick is fuck the Revival. Tonight it's thank the Revival. Mainly
Dash fucked him up.
Thank you. And what was even more brilliant and beautiful, I'll shut up right after this because I know you want to go to somebody else, but what was even more beautiful and brilliant, Dash is wearing a Hitman jacket.
Yeah, so he the camera, the cell phone shots you see him just, he circles back around and just goes, boom, right in the guy's face, straight on. And they,
well, that punch was absolutely incredible. He's walking beside the guy, and when I was watching it live, it looked like he caught him on the cheek. But no, he hooked that arm, he hooked that fist right around and got him flush in the face. And apparently, he's not going to get in trouble for that because the guy was still fighting when he had 30 people dragging his ass out. He's still trying to fight.
And when Dash Wilder got in the ring tonight, he got such a huge ovation.
Shit, yeah.
So, yeah, wanted to get that out there.
Don't do dumb shit because you deserve the broken face.
The downside of all that, they're going to have to get rid of that setup, and that Hall of Fame setup was cool.
So, yeah,
it was really cool.
That's really unfortunate.
Really cool. All right, time for the main show because there's a lot of matches. Alexa Bliss kicks us off after a very cool intro, Broadway style. She says, the snap of her fingers, she can deliver a WrestleMania moment. She snaps her fingers and out walks Hulk Hogan.
Brother. Oh, yeah, brother.
Nice callback to the Silver Dome.
That was good. That was good.
But he said MetLife Center, so kind of got it right, but...
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
It's a stadium, so...
Stealing R-Truth's gimmick.
Close enough. Alexa got the pose with Hogan, and then as they're posing, Paul Heyman waddles to the ring. Basically says if his client's not on last, he's not waiting, and the Universal title match happens right now. So we open with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. Thoughts on Seth Rollins' entrance?
I really do miss when entrances had, you know, real shit built. I'm tired of CG props and CG graphics, and I miss cool stuff.
So the match didn't really start. Brock went on the attack. I'm going to repeat something Michael Cole said that we actually heard. Brock Lesnar throws him into the LED screen. What LED screen? That's a ring apron.
I think Michael Cole was drunk.
I understand. Normally, there's the LED screen, but...
You're so used to being scripted every single week that you just say it.
Just say it. Yeah. And we need hazard pay for the German announce team. Just going to flat out say it.
Poor guys.
they deserve some hazard pay. Started with this matchup. And then you saw Seth Rollins is back. Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, my Lord.
So they call back to what happened on Monday Night Raw, where Seth Rollins was able to low blow Brock Lesnar as the referee ducked a bump and had a roll out of the ring, so he didn't see the low blow. And then three curb stomps later, Seth Rollins is your new Universal Champion.
Yeah, I genuinely didn't think we would get that with the two big babyface wins that we were anticipating the most. But...
And especially after what happened on Monday.
Yeah, thank God. Now, never give that belt to Brock ever, ever, ever again.
Which they are.
Please, dear God, let it end. That belt feels so meaningless now because we never fucking see it.
Well, they will give it back to Brock so they can actually have the rematch between Brock and Roman, with Roman this time actually getting 99% cheers.
I don't know about that one.
the cancer victory might have worn thin.
Yeah, a little bit.
Of course, this is Mania, which is a much snarkier crowd.
But
let's see what happens at the Raw after WrestleMania.
Those of you who weren't able to watch WrestleMania tonight, definitely watch Raw tomorrow night. The crowd is better than the WrestleMania crowd.
And there was nothing wrong with this crowd. Flat out
saying
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aside from exhaustion.
But they were into everything.
No. He's alluding to something, and I'm going to just point it out. Matt, smarten the hell up, okay? The crowd was being very Canadian in the main event. And I mean by that, Canadian audiences and Japanese audiences are very similar. When something's going on, we cheer at the right parts, but we quiet down and we watch and pay attention. And that's what they were doing in the main event.
And they reacted to every damn move. Open up your ears. Listen closely. It's open air stadium at midnight. You did not lose the crowd. Anyway, there's that. Randy Orton, AJ Styles. We have, for some reason, had Jerry Lawler on the announced team. Okay. Good match. I like the callback from SmackDown with AJ faking out the springboard and not getting caught in the RKO. That was a nice callback. AJ had a phenomenal forearm to the outside and one in the ring. He beat Randy Orton. General impressions around the horn?
I mean, it's a decent enough match. There's nothing about this that really thrilled me. It's just kind of a match that didn't really have a whole lot built to it. But, you know, I'm going to admit, it might just be the fact that I'm just really bored of Randy Orton matches in general. You know, I predicted that we would be able to break some ties with how long the chin's lock lasts, and it lasted. It's a fine enough match. It's just for a WrestleMania, it didn't feel like it was going as hard as it should have.
They were very safe.
Yeah, you know what I can say about this match is I'm glad that they switched it with Brock and Seth for the opener,
because it was really supposed to be the opener. It may turn out differently if it was the opener. They may have, you know. You never know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a good match. It deserved second or third or even fourth on a WrestleMania card that was as stacked as this one was this year. It could have been a semi-main event for a lot of different pay-per-views, but what we saw, definitely not any kind of an opening match for any pay-per-view.
No, it was fine. It was fine. This is a point in the program where we say, "Hi, Lacey Evans," and then we say, "Bye, Lacey Evans." She did her little thing and
laughing. Yeah, total waste of time. I mean, that's just
if you're gonna give the battle royal win to Carmella out of nowhere, you might as well put Lacey in and let her win. At least let it mean something.
These SmackDown Tag Team Championships are on the line. The Usos take on Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev, The Bar, Ricochet, and Aleister Black. So Cesaro did the giant swing.
He's still
massive
spinning.
Massive giant spin swing.
I think it was like 32 full rotations, I think someone said on Twitter. And Sheamus pounded the chest about everyone else.
Cesaro looked like one of the helicopter blades that we saw tonight.
Mm-hmm. Ricochet somehow survived the Tower of Doom. I think he was supposed to land on his feet, but
he rolled through instead.
Which is still impressive.
Still impressive, because it's Ricochet.
And everyone hit some sort of kick on someone. We had bro kicks, super kicks, black masses. You hit at everything.
By the way, WWE, stop adding fake noises to Aleister Black's intro. We're not supposed to know that there's a we're not supposed to know that there's a lift pushing him up.
But well, you know, they like to do their little things, I guess.
Their little things are dumb.
Stop it.
So there you go. The double oof splash for the victory. Usos retain. All right.
Usos are a treasure.
Hope they enjoy those brand new contracts.
Mm. They genuinely deserve it. Like, how long have they been, like, holding up the tag division?
Oh, yeah. It's great. They deserve everything. It's fine. Hopefully they get some new tag teams to fight.
That'd be helpful.
That'd be helpful. And maybe we now finally split Aleister and Ricochet. I mean...
Yeah.
Nope.
That'd be cool. Split them.
That's not going to happen. You guys know it.
It's called Superstar Shakeup.
Nothing.
Which is next week, the International Superstar Shakeup. Live from Montreal. All right. Shane McMahon and The Miz. Falls count anywhere. So we all wonder.
Wow.
We all wonder. What's Shane going to do?
Where's Shane going to fall off this year?
And has Shane caught his breath yet?
So, Shane is blown up after about 3 minutes. He lays Miz out on a table. Then Miz's dad gets up and says, Shane, you're not jumping on my son. Don't jump on my son. Don't. And Shane calls Miz's dad in the ring, and Shane's wiping the sweat off his face. So it's just dripping. Dripping.
He looks like he got out of the shower.
And then he goes to fight Miz's dad. And before he does, he sets Miz's dad's hands to how to throw a punch. Shane McMahon showing someone how to throw a punch. That's a meme in itself. And he beat up Miz's dad. And then Miz beat the holy hell out of Shane everywhere you could possibly imagine. Sorry, international announcers. You always think you're safe. Nope. Funaki, sorry.
At this point in time, I think all the international announcers should realize they're the ones targeted first.
But they're all the way in the back. No one goes near them except for Miz and Shane McMahon. And then we climb up the tech area where the cameras are, and we start fighting up there. Skull-crushing finale for a 2 count, and then Shane is begging for forgiveness. And Miz is like, nope. And then he hooks him for a superplex. They go splat. 1, 2, 3. Shane McMahon wins. Because he landed on top of Miz. Clever finish.
I love this.
The fact that Shane is... I think this is his second WrestleMania win.
Well, he won with Ryan.
Third.
We won with Ryan. He won this one. There was another one he won. What was the third one he won?
18, X8.
No, 17. He beat Vince. 17. He lost to X-Pac, right? Yeah.
God.
He lost to X-Pac at 15. Yep, going all the way back to 15. There you go. So there you have it. So yeah, Shane wins. Feud continues, I would assume.
Yeah. This was beautiful chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Like Miz looked like just like Miz looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Shane played his part to a T. I love the best in the world shtick.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good for a heel authority figure. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get to brag about winning, even though it was dumb fucking luck that he won, even though he got his ass kicked, and it's perfect.
He's a McMahon.
He's still the best in the world. And great job by Greg Hamilton with the best in the world the third time he did it. Them lungs, really good. Then we had the Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Tag Team Titles. Boston Hug Connection, Nia Jackson, Tamina, Beth Phoenix, and Natalya, and the Iconics. Paige on the announce table team. The Bayley Buddies. They had some performance issues.
Not enough helium. Not enough hot air.
That's one,
not enough, whatever.
One word for it. Not enough hot air. So Beth and Natty made their entrance together, and out from behind came Brett the Hitman Hart. Cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little nod.
Mm-hmm. Beth and Natty were wearing matching jackets, so it's good.
Woo!
Yeah, they look good. They look like a team.
Match was solid.
Match was solid.
Glam slam from the top rope. Beth got shoved out of the ring. Billy Kay stole the win. And
beautiful.
And new tag team champions, the Iconics.
And everybody was safe.
Except for those of you who played Pick'em.
Yeah, I'm not terribly fond of the new champions losing so fast. I would have liked them to have a couple more big wins to really establish those belts better.
Well, but also you got to remember the Iconics are a legit solid like thing.
I know. Well, yeah, but Bayley and Sasha just have way more history than the Iconics. They've been through a lot more. They've got more accomplishments in the WWE. That's the thing with the Iconics is since they've been coming on, they cut whiny promos, and don't get me wrong, though they work for what they are, but that's literally all they've done. You know, they don't win very often, and they really don't accomplish anything until tonight. I just would have liked to have seen Bayley and Sasha hold those belts a little bit longer, and if you're going to pass them to the Iconics, I understand this is a slimy heel way of giving them the belts, and that works for them. I just don't think they deserve it yet.
Well, no, you're right. I'm in the same, you know, the same corner as you on that. But, you know, the slimy way, you know, stealing the win the way they did, that was perfect. That really was. That was just bang on.
There you go. So we then have the WWE Championship match. Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. Okay. So Big E has a present for Kofi after the match. Now, for whatever, I don't understand. Okay. I'm trying to get into a mindset of an internet fan.
Hey, good luck. Oh, you've my got God. No experience being an internet fan.
Not this type of internet fan. Let me see. I'm going to go to WWEshop.com. I'm going to type in the New Day. Oh my God. It has New Day t-shirts. Oh my God. It says Kofi won it has the title and Kofi's name on it. Oh my God. So I'm going to screen capture that even though the links don't work and I'm going to put it on the internet and send it to all the dirt sheets going, hey, WWE spoiled this. WWE spoiled this. Okay. WWE didn't spoil nothing. You went out and searched for something. WWE spoiling it would be them physically linking it out to people. It was just in the search engine. It was not actually on the website, just in the search engine. Y'all spoiled it for yourselves, not WWE. Same.
Yeah, I got news for you. They kind of had to set that stuff up in advance to make sure the shop works. And hey, it's a picture of a t-shirt with a photoshopped drawing on top of it. It's not exactly a difficult thing to make or turn on or off.
But
now, as we saw, they also had Daniel Bryan shirts for WrestleMania.
Right, but no one spoiled them. But internet fans, oh my God, WWE spoiled it. Oh my God. No.
When you go searching for a thing and play Magnum PI, yes, that was the reference for tonight. But when you do that and you come across something after digging deeper than you need to, yeah, you're exactly, that's not a spoiler, kids.
And then, oh my God, screen capture, lol. Can we, alright, you got it out there. Oh my God, we spoiled
it. People who do that on the internet, they're not fans, they're assholes.
We spoiled We spoiled them all, the moment we all wanted to see, cause we needed to be out in front of it by 15 minutes. Yay.
Rants all over the place tonight.
Anyway, this match was really good. Daniel Bryan's awesome. Kofi Kingston was good.
Oh.
The crowd, oh my God, the crowd for this match.
Oh, I love this match. I love the crowd. It was great.
So, yeah. In the end, after kicking out a couple big moments from Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan being taken out, Trouble in Paradise, 1-2-3, Kofi Kingston.
Woohoo!
Wins the championship.
Woohoo!
Now, last week, I went out on a limb and I said, this is a match of the night written all over it, even without any extra hype to it. Everything that happened tonight, did this live up to that?
Oh yeah, like absolutely. Like this is one of those matches that made me forget that I'm some kind of smark that's known all this shit for a long damn time.
Yeah.
Like this just had me just waiting on bated breath for the three count. This had me grinning ear to ear the whole time. I was getting bored of some of the other segments, so I went back and watched it again.
So the title was not in the box, Omega.
I know.
I mean, it wasn't in the box.
Awesome merchandise.
I was right in that they had the old belt waiting, but I was not right in that they snuck it out with the box.
It was just not in the box. So
that's a little bit of misdirection.
I figured it would be there because like if you know, let's face it, Kofi's going to be a Hall of Famer someday, and if you put like that wooden belt in the video package, you know, you know, 15 years from now. It's going to cause a few head scratches.
So, Kofi Kingston champ, he got to celebrate. Kent came in the ring, had the new old belt, and had new merch. Y'all search for it on the internet. Go buy it now since you search for it. WWEshop.com. Go buy it.
Yeah. the end of this match was fantastic with the two little kids in the ring.
Yeah.
You could see it like as Xavier's like pulling the sheet off of the black belt, he's almost crying.
He's been saying for years his one goal in WWE was this moment. He's been saying it for years. He wanted to get Kofi the championship, and they got it. See what they do.
I cannot wait for the New Day's entrance on SmackDown on Tuesday with Big E,
WWE champions.
With Big E announcing, you know, your world famous WWE champ.
So they all celebrate. We go backstage. Alexa's checking in on the SNL guys. And then a couple doctors walk in from behind.
Oh, beautiful.
Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Nice little cameo.
Nash with the rubber glove snap. Shall we start with the snap prostate exam?
So, if you blinked, you missed it. United States champion Samoa Joe defeated Rey Mysterio. The match was 1 minute. The entrance was like 3.5.
There's a reason for this.
Thanks, Brent, for the injury. Rey injured his ankle on Monday night. And he was cleared to wrestle, but only for like a minute. So, that's what you get.
It makes Samoa Joe look like a beast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
man, like, that should have been a much better match. Though, honestly, we might still be watching Mania if that match happened.
Then you had Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre. Yep, it was average. Superman punch spear. 1, 2, 3. Roman wins.
Seriously, not a hell of a lot to talk about this match.
Like, 1, 2, 3. Roman's next,
pretty much. You know, Roman coming back in his first singles match since returning from leukemia. If you expected this to be a burner, knockdown, dragout, or any kind of a marathon, well, you're an idiot. No offense, but yeah, offense.
Just, you kind of want it more for his return. I'm saying, want it a little bit more for the return, and just, it's back to Roman Reigns' classic match.
It just felt very safe, very, very limited.
Well, at this point, you don't want to overextend anything where Roman Reigns is concerned. Remarkable recovery from leukemia. Maybe it was a work and a setup by WWE to get the fans cheer for him.
Oh, fuck off. Don't even joke.
Yeah. You know, I was just about to comment on the losers thinking that. Fact of the matter is he's back way sooner than he should have been. Number one I'll guarantee you he's still recovering from his treatment.
Well, if you watch the behind the scenes where they are following his return,
yeah,
like he mentioned that he's in the first stage of remission.
Yeah,
he's getting back to being as healthy as he can be.
Well, then don't put him in 10-15 minute matches. We'll move on from there and just let it. I hope all you're ready for Roman Reigns back in the title picture soon, because that's coming really quick. I have a feeling, but you know what time it is? It's time to walk with Elias. And we watched him play with himself.
Seen it done before. It's still a pretty good feat to pull off, because that's a lot of production work to make sure that everything lines up properly.
Well, I mean,
I'm not talking about Eli, you know, I'm not talking about the joke, Elias playing with himself.
Well, I mean, if you set it to the beat, it's no different than an actual like band performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you know the song and you follow the beat, everything should line up as long as it's in sync with each other.
I've seen it get, start out. I've seen things like this start out properly, but something screws up. I've seen it happen, and it's easier than people think to mess this up. I mean, you have to be once you got the two video pieces set up, that's not a problem. All you do is you mesh it together, and then you got one video to play with, along with. But any number of things could have screwed up with the actual live performance.
A half a second delay would have killed it all.
Yep.
So we then see Babe Ruth appear on the screen in a big video package for Babe Ruth.
And I have issue with that Babe Ruth package.
Why?
Because the legend is he called a shot. He didn't. He was what happened. He was arguing with the pitcher and he was making a point and he pointed and everybody assumed that Babe Ruth was calling a shot. That's a legend. It didn't really happen.
But yes, but it tells a better story.
But he pointed. I know. That's why it's a legend.
Yeah, this legend pointed and the greatest of all time returned.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
Old school John Cena, the doctor of...
Crowd pop.
The doctor
we
of...
We knew Cena would show up, but not that Cena.
Okay, I popped.
Yeah, so he's just in time for a John Cena heel turn. He took a shot at his movies. He called himself the Golden Shovel. As he buries Elias's push.
Oh, Elias isn't getting push. Who are you kidding?
And then he said, there's no AA tonight. There's an FU, which is paraphrase, and he delivered the FU after a five-knuckle shuffle to Elias.
It's WrestleMania weekend. They get away with a lot more risque material.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that John Cena actually came out the Doctor of Thugonomics. First off, it was awesome. Secondly, I never, ever thought we would ever see that again.
It's been 6 years since we've seen it. In the last time he pulled it out, I believe, was for New York when he was fighting The Rock. It was either the first time or the second time. It was was when he pulled out the Doctor of Thugonomics and did a whole rap on The Rock. Can't remember which promo, which year it was for, but there you go. No holds barred. Triple H, Batista.
Give me what I want! Oh, sorry.
Batista.
I knew Batista would probably be a little bit rusty. I didn't realize he'd forget how to get into the ring.
All right, it was the first one. Thanks, Devil Sam.
What did I say the match was? What did I call this match?
What did you call this match?
Triple H versus Triptista.
Yeah.
Well, I described it like you color code your Batistas, where your blue one is dumb and your red one is clumsy,
which ties into his character in Guardians of the Galaxy.
So Batista had a escort Drax to the ring.
Is dumb.
Yeah, we got that. Hunter had like a Mad Max style entrance, which was cool. And then we learned something about Triple H. He's been hanging out with Pete Dunne for way too long.
He went for fingers tonight, and I never really expected a pair of needle nose pliers to be used for a wrestling match.
Here we are. We're been out the nose ring.
I've seen needle nose pliers used in wrestling matches on the, indie, something like Fans Bring the Weapons matches.
Yeah, so Hunter's been with Pete Dunne and watching death matches, so that's pretty much what we saw here. I'll say this about this match. Batista came in much better shape. He actually moved better than he did in his performances, especially in the last WrestleMania he was in. He moved a lot better. This was good. Could have been shorter, of course.
Yeah, this kind of dragged.
But for his final match, you got to let them just do the business as they do.
Yeah, to be fair, he took a lot of really hard bumps for someone who has a Hollywood career to watch out for.
No kidding. That the backdrop on the table that did not give. And then they got up and went, hey, spear.
Yeah.
You got the spots and the steel steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a reason why Batista's looking like he's in better shape than the last time, and it's because the director got reinstated for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, yeah. So he's got to make sure he's in shape for it.
I have to hit the gym again because I have to be shirtless for another movie.
We had some nice false finishes towards the end, but Hunter's down after taking a DDT on the steps where he just sort of bounced off of it, like sprung up from him. Like, okay, cool. Then the nature boy, Ric Flair, comes out and hands him the sledgehammer that we probably weren't supposed to see Hunter pull out from underneath the ring early in the match.
Which was the gimmick sledgehammer.
And then Flair's taunting Batista. Batista's yelling back, allowing Hunter to hit him with the sledgehammer and then the pedigree. The movement of Triple H continues on with the victory. His career is not over. But it probably is the end of Batista. It was enjoyable.
It was too long.
Yeah, but they went out there and did it. They did it. It's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, you can't argue about them going long. It's what they do.
Oh, I can.
You can. But who has the energy at 1:21 in the morning?
That part.
So we mentioned that they had shirts for Daniel Bryan winning the keeping his championship, and well, B team.
Oops.
The B team was dancing and celebrating, and then well, we had a damn. That was cool. Cool to see Ron Simmons.
It's interesting to me that they kept the legends to a minimum.
Minimum, but they were all over the show. Because then we followed that up with JBL at ringside. Calling Kurt Angle's final match.
Yeah. I mean, I'll point it out here. Did anyone miss seeing The Undertaker?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I don't watch Baron Corbin wrestle.
But I mean, I felt like the show had plenty to it without having on him.
The show was fine without him. The question was, did you
it
miss?
Was,
did
you, but did you the miss? Kurt Angle match would have been a lot better if he had chosen Undertaker.
I'm just saying,
well, no. What should have happened was Taker should have come out to murder Elias, and Cena should have murdered Corbin and taken the match.
Yeah, which we all thought was going to happen. So, no, you said, did I miss the Undertaker? Yes. The show didn't need the Undertaker, but I missed him. Those are two different answers.
All right. Fair enough.
It's like, would it have been cool to see Taker? Yeah. Will we see Taker soon? Yeah. Was he in the building tonight? Yep. Was Batista grabbing his ass before the show? That's a definite yes. There's picture proof. Go look on Michelle McCool's Twitter. Or
there's a picture on her Twitter.
Some things I don't want to see.
Batista's grabbing Undertaker's ass.
Yeah. Batista, you know, he's got to be careful. He's defending a director who posted some very controversial tweets 20,000 years ago that got him fired from the movie franchise before he got rehired. And now he's doing something that a certain American politician is in trouble for. Don't do that.
Do we need to stick to wrestling?
I'm just saying, don't do that.
At Voicing Sandy on Twitter. Kurt Angle, Baron Corbin. Kurt Angle had a new, pyro back for the final night. They wrestled. Kurt hit some nice suplexes. Baron Corbin did the You Can't See Me. Kurt kicked his ass a little bit more. Kurt did the dumbass thing, because it never works. He went for the moonsault.
Moonsault off.
Why?
Kurt,
he missed.
Big mistake.
20-year career. The moonsault has never worked.
End of days. 1, 2, 3.
I had mixed feelings about this match. I mean, Kurt Angle, you knew he was going out on his back, even if you voted differently for Pick'em or was hoping for a different outcome. That's the tradition that happens. You watch because it's Kurt's final match. You have a hard time watching because his opponent's Baron freaking Corbin.
I don't know for the life of me. It feels like they were willing to sacrifice Kurt Angle's retirement match for the sake of hopefully giving Corbin a rub and some credibility.
Yeah.
Your new number one contender, Baron Corbin.
No. No.
Coming up on the WWE Network, the new WWE 24/7, Baron Corbin, wrestling with personality.
Okay, you joke. When he's on other things than Raw or SmackDown, he has tons of personality. When he's on Up, Up, Down, Down, he has tons of personality. When he was on that WWE Network show they did, Breaking Ground, he had tons of personality. You see why
when
they
it
like
matters
him.
The most, he has no charisma.
When he's him, he has charisma. When they make him be Baron Corbin, there's none.
No, he is a black hole of personality.
I could make a joke, but I'm not going to because I'm too tired.
You probably could have made the joke and used less energy than it took to explain why you weren't making it.
Movie reference, I'm going to bed.
There you go.
There you go. Baron Corbin wins, and Kurt Angle got to hear the fans chant, "You suck," one more time.
What a fucking waste.
And tomorrow night, we'll get the thank you, Kurt chant.
All right, so to give you an update on Kurt Angle, no, he's not leaving WWE. He has signed a brand new contract with WWE. He's going to be working backstage. So everyone who's thinking, oh, my God, this is the last time he's just going to leave WWE and wrestle elsewhere? No, he's not. This was it.
He's going to be like a road agent or some shit.
Yeah, he's a producer, agent, whatever you want to call it. He's going to be working with the young guys on the main roster.
That's one of the 80 new producers they've signed.
Well, when you're launching on Fox, you need as many bodies as you can. All right.
This means he's working with Abyss again.
And Jeff.
Shut up.
And Hurricane. Like, okay, so you mentioned the romance.
It's weird. The TNA is kind of taking over WWE in a very weird way.
You mentioned the Roman thing because it was on before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing Roman prepare to go out there when he comes to make the comeback on Raw that night. And there's Abyss in the background standing there in a suit. Oh, Lord. It's like, what world are we living in? Anyway, Bobby Lashley, Demon Finn Balor, Intercontinental title. We got the Demon entrance finally at WrestleMania.
Paint was underwhelming, but it was nice of them to find the lift that Alexa Bliss had last year.
What, Mike?
No, I'm just laughing at the cop. WrestleMania in general, and all around. I mean, 8 out of 10. I liked it. They actually can afford pyro this year. You know, they were allowed to have pyro.
Every stadium show, they have pyro.
Not every stadium show, but...
Every outdoor stadium show, if you look at Crown Jewel and everything they've done there, every stadium show has pyro.
It's a lot of money. But yeah, this was really good. I have to say, Charlotte's entrance was...
We're not there yet.
I know. I wasn't going to spoil it, geniuses.
No,
why are you talking about it?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
We're on those Corbin.
Two words.
We're on Lashley.
Corbin
and
made me. Lashley. First of all, why did he look like somebody from Krypton?
He didn't. He looked like he was about to Hulk out.
Close enough with the eyes. I liked it. I mean, as long as we know that Demon is, you know, on stair is like Super Saiyan, but we're not going to go there.
You know, the split screen of the Demon and Bobby with those contacts, that could have been any CW show currently on the network.
Stop. But it was really good. It was real solid. Hey, all I can say is you thought the Demon wasn't going to win. Yeah. All right. Think again.
No, Demon always wins.
The Demon doesn't lose in WWE. NXT is a different story.
That was once.
He lost once, and that was on the.
Was that only once? It was Joe, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. On the end. So eventually he'll lose. So Finn's the Intercontinental Champion again. So he won it, lost it, and got it back. Okay, whatever. We'll see where they take it. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to another Baylor Lashley match. Move one of them to a different show. Maybe
put Lashley on SmackDown.
Yeah. Gotta split up those heels on Raw.
Don't they have like more heels on Raw than they do SmackDown?
But the heels on Raw are boring as crap.
Who cares? Move on.
82,265 people in attendance.
I can't wait to find out how many it really is.
67,400. Which
a lot of corporate seats given away.
Which still 67,000 people, if that's the number, whatever it is. Still 60,000+ people.
A lot of goddamn people.
Yeah. And winner takes all. Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. Charlotte arrived via helicopter. Joan Jett performed for Ronda Rousey, leading her to the ring. Thoughts on the
entrance? And nobody showed up for Becky.
Becky didn't need it.
Becky didn't need
it. No fucking frills.
Becky didn't need it. She's the man. She just came out there.
Grocery store in Canada called No Frills.
I just think someone sold cards there once. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
No, they were free. You actually got $25 in free groceries for signing up.
Okay. There you go.
You brought it up.
Potato, patata, it was the same goddamn thing.
Ooh, I had potatoes for dinner.
First favorite part of this matchup was you chopped like a bitch. Smacked right across the face.
Wow, okay, chop to the cheek.
First favorite part of this matchup. This is a really good matchup. They deserve to be in this main event spot.
It was a good match. They absolutely deserved the main event. I so wish this show was an hour shorter so I could have been more excited for it when it got there.
Yeah. But the
crowd... I was so fucking drained.
Yeah, and so was the crowd. But they were into every goddamn spot.
They were. Because they wanted to see if Ronda was going to fuck up.
Oh, yeah. You hear when Ronda got dropkicked down to the ground while she was upside down?
Yeah.
When her ass smacked that side of the ring instead of falling straight flat, yeah.
And we was like, oh no!
There's a whole crowd going, oh shit!
Mm-hmm. Scary moment.
Yeah.
All credit in the world to the girls. Like, Charlotte's bleeding, Ronda's bruised as hell, they held nothing back.
They were being
It looked like somebody chewed on Ronda's leg there.
They might have, who knows?
Oh god.
They beat the shit out of each other. They were not holding back. Apparently, tables are for bitches.
I love that. I love that. Well, not only playing to her, but also fuck the audience. I know you want this. I'm not giving it to you.
And then, heel.
We had a nice double spear spot. Then we had a double hip toss through the table that didn't like fully crack, and that was the end of Charlotte. You really wanted it to break more, but they sold it well.
Those tables were really sturdy this year.
Then we had the Piper's Pit, terrible name for a move, gets reversed into a pin. One, shoulders up, kind of two, three, and new SmackDown and Raw Women's Champion, the man, Becky Lynch.
This bye, Ronda.
The outcome they could have had.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say bye to Ronda just yet, because that finish...
finish sets up something, and I think people still want to see Ronda and Becky one-on-one properly.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I said in Skype chat to Rock at the end of the match, is that finish sets up a screwjob finish.
And you can tell that it may not be tomorrow, it may not be a month from now, but 3 months from now, when Ronda comes back, they can do the match.
Yeah.
It's open ended.
It's a seed.
Yeah. Does Ronda deserve to take a little time off if she wants? Hell yeah. Because she went out there for the last year and delivered.
Yeah. Like we've said it before. She's delivered like no rookie's done before.
We all expect her, have 5-10 matches in the year? She had over 60-70 matches in the year?
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't on Brock's schedule. Let's put it that way.
No. But she went out there. She didn't do every house show, but she was doing house shows. She worked the schedule as much as she could. For someone brand new to the business, she worked. She worked her ass off.
And they put her in the highest profile they could, as a face of the WWE right from the start. Went with all of it. Didn't, never lost stride, kept up with it, just carried it.
And she did what she came in to do. She got the women in the main event, WrestleMania. And she also put Becky Lynch over.
I heard so many bullshit rumors about her refusing to do that.
Oh my god. The best story this weekend was Ronda Rousey has input on who wins the match at WrestleMania. She gets to decide the winner. Are you dumb?
Question answers itself.
Like, are you seriously dumb? Like, no, Ronda Rousey does not dictate who wins the damn match. Vince McMahon does. Well, now, well, a week from now, well, a year from now, well, 10 years from now, because it's Vince McMahon. She's not Hulk Hogan of 1998. She does not dictate who wins and loses. Let's be real, brother.
No, Ronda Rousey is the Kevin Nash of WWE.
Wow.
She's got the book.
I win or I don't play.
Monday night, she comes out and pokes.
You never know. Anyway.
Stop it.
That was WrestleMania.
You know, overall, entertaining show. I read all week on social media. People are expecting this to be a really bad one. And a lot of it, I hate to bring it up, but it's true. A lot of the negative reaction was for the fact that women main evented it for the first time ever. And this is the main reason why that jackass went after Brett. He was pissed off about the main event being the triple threat.
You don't know
women's
that.
Match.
You don't know that.
Oh yeah, no, that is
no, it's
the
not.
Reason. That is the reason. The guys all of that stuff came out today. He was tweeting like crazy to Triple H, to Vince, and he's bitching about the women's match headline.
But that's not why he went after Brett. That's dumbass.
So why you attack Brett?
That's a dumbass.
Because
why do you go after the one guy you could literally kill if you tackle him too hard?
Because Natty was in the ring.
That is dumb.
And that is what was being said today about all that. So,
yeah, that's the first time I've heard that, and that's a dumb.
Dumb.
Very dumb.
Hey, I've broke shit on you before, so.
And some shit's dumb like that. Anyway, who won Pick'em?
It wasn't you.
No shit. Who won?
I'm calling it up here. Starting at the bottom, 17th place all by himself, Subway got 5 right, 11 wrong. Tied in 14th place with the 8-ball at 6-10 were Rob and Jobber. Derek Biddle all by himself at 7-5 in 13th place. Going 7-7, our buddy Michael from Sweeter Switzerland, wherever, in 12th place. Chris P, 7-8, 11th. Rock, you were in 10th place all by yourself. You got 7 right, 9 wrong.
Woo, woo, woo.
9th place all alone, Alex Miller, 8-6. Tommy C in 8th place, 8-7. Lindsay and Sheila tied each other in 6th place, 8-8. Mike, you tied Vincent M in 4th place with 9-7.
Holy crap.
Kyle Morey, my buddy Keishi Matsunaga, former member of my All-Canadian Pro Wrestling roster, tied with Omega at 10-6. But this is not a two-way tie. It's a three-way split because you guys tied with me first place at 10-6. And that's Pick'em.
So I want the internet now go, TakeOver was better.
TakeOver was really good.
But it's,
for me, WrestleMania and TakeOver are apples and oranges this year.
I explained this on
Friday. Yeah, we talked about this. Like I said it, like this is cake and this is ice cream. They're both very good, but I don't have to decide which is better.
Right. So keep those takes out of like okay, TakeOver's
like
better.
Cake and I like ice cream. Give me a scoop of each.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? You know, you put that dollop of ice cream right on top of your cake. That's what we had this weekend.
You can eat your cake and have, well, no, you can't. You can have your cake and eat it too, but you can't eat your cake and have it too.
Anyway, enjoy everything, all the wrestling. There was a lot of wrestling this weekend. I watched, not as much as other people because other people watch all this indie stuff and that.
Yeah, great. Some people watched NJPW and ROH.
And Joey Ryan's Penis Party and Spring Break and whatever other.
And all the local indie wrestling that happens around your local neighborhood, like shit that goes on here in Calgary, long pause, Alberta, Canada. So I'm wrestled out for the week, but I'm still watching Raw tomorrow night just for the crowd.
My WrestleMania review week doesn't stop here. Raw post show 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll have that. We'll have the Miz and Mrs. on Tuesday at 10:30. We'll review the episode 8. Be available once the show ends. The Rack will review WrestleMania Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out our review of NXT TakeOver. The Rack Extra reviews NXT TakeOver in New York, now available, featuring myself, Lindsay, Omega, and the intern. Available now at RackRadioShow.com, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Saturday night's Midnight Ace, it's CB Radio. And I assume if there's stuff to talk about, they'll be back. Next Sunday, the normal time, you steal my gimmick of Midnight-ish at 10 p.m. Eastern at WTR
8 o'clock Mountain.
WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Subscribe. Twitch.tv/WTR Live. Yes, I stopped Tim from trying to interrupt. Omega, plug.
So if you want to follow me, you can do so at TJ Reviews over on Facebook. But everywhere else online,
You can look up TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. And for some exclusive videos not on YouTube, you can go to TJOmega.net.
Mike Puck.
Well, yeah, WTR, the WTR Oreo over Twitter, Fuck the Revival, Facebook, you can Dragon Honor Wrestling, Fuck the Revival, YouTube, Powerhouse Championship Wrestling. Congrats to Kofi Kingston for being a Grand Slam champion. Back to you guys.
Tim.
Follow me at Flames Forums for the safe stuff, for the controversial stuff, at Voicing Sanity.
We hope you all enjoyed WrestleMania. We did. Hope you all
it
enjoyed
was fun.
Hope you enjoyed everything you saw this weekend, whether it was NXT TakeOver, the Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, or any other show, MLW, ROH, New Japan, whatever it was. Hope you enjoyed WrestleMania weekend, not wrestling weekend, Jay Lethal. It's WrestleMania. Learn to deal with it. So we'll see you next Sunday night. Maybe. We'll see you all week long. Long day away to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com. Say goodnight, Tim.
Good night, Tim.
WildTalkRadio.com.